Blog Talk Radio.
Live on Blog Talk Radio, in cooperation with Scout.com, WarNest.com, and Frat House Sports, this is Inside the War Nest, the show made by Philadelphia Eagles fans for Philadelphia Eagles fans. Have a comment or question? Call us live on the air, 347-826-9964. That's 347-826-9964. And now, to take you through the week that was and the week to come in Eagles football, here are your armchair generals, Jim Williams and Mike McShane, inside the War Nest.
Remember a couple of weeks ago when everybody was excited around town? I mean, it doesn't take much to get excited around Philadelphia given the landscape of sports right now. I mean, the Sixers are not even in the NBA. I believe they're petitioning to be a part of the NBDL, the D League, the Developmental League. The Flyers are just kind of there. The Phillies are just, you know, in mass chaos. And the Eagles, a couple of weeks ago, you go back and, you know, we're coming off the big win over the Cowboys on Turkey Day. All is seemingly right with the world. Then Seattle comes into town, rips us a new one. Then Dallas comes in. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, all I can say to myself is...
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
So can I right about now. Can we win a game? I mean, seriously, folks. Washington and New York remain in front of Philadelphia. These are two teams that the Eagles, on paper, should win again. But can they? We will discuss that over the course of the next hour or so. Welcome inside the War Nest once again on this Wednesday night, the 17th of December, 2014. I'm Jim Williams. Through the static and the hash, hopefully he's okay. Mike McShane, can you hear me? Mike, you cannot hear me apparently. So I'm gonna hang up. I'm gonna ask you to call back in, Mike. So we'll try to reboot that again in just a moment or two. Mike McShane will be joining us momentarily here inside the War Nest. Jim Williams with you. So glad you're joining us this evening. Oh, we got a lot to talk about. It was an ugly game. An ugly game at the Link, where the Eagles played, let's say, 20, 25 minutes of decent football, let's say. And then it all went downhill. Of course, when you go ahead and start a game losing 21-0, the odds are pretty much against you. Then the Eagles went on to score 24 unanswered, and you're saying to yourself, hey, maybe they figured this thing out. But there are certain things that happened that just left a bad taste in my mouth. I know that for sure. Mike, can you hear me? We're having some technical issues with Mike McShane. His microphone is being staticky. Can you hear me now, Michael?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, yep. All right, now we got you. Now we got you.
Oh, man alive.
Well, what happened over there?
Well, Blog Talk Radio has been a real beautiful challenge in the past 2 days, I must tell them.
Oh, please do. I have no shame in saying it. Go ahead.
Honest to God. I mean, seriously, last night we had all kinds of issues getting in. Tonight... anyhow,
but,
all right.
But you're here. So there we are. And hopefully you, I'm pointing at you, the listener, it's not nice to point, but you get the idea, will give us your feedback as well. Right now, this Philadelphia Eagles team, 9-5 with two games left to play, can they make the postseason? And I think a more important question, do you want them to make the postseason? 347-826-9964 to weigh in. 347-826-9964 to weigh in. You can also listen in or chat in the chat. And now I'm being told we're having problems with our stream. So yep. This could be This could be a show for the Marconi archives, man. Oh, my gosh. Well, we're going to continue on as if everybody can hear us.
Everybody, exactly.
Millions of people are listening in, and if you believe that, we've got some swampland to sell you in the Far East. Let's dissect it, Michael.
Let's not say we did.
Yeah,
no,
well,
we kind of have to.
It's our yeah. job, and plus, we have no guests. Forewarning you, ladies and gentlemen, we efforted on multiple tries to get guests for tonight's show, and nothing did come through in the 11th hour. And I'm going to call out Scout.com here a little bit, if I could, because Scout, you know, a fine site, the host, of course, for WarrenS.com, they have a site for Washington's football team. You wouldn't know the last time that site was updated? I'll tell you, March of this year. March. Even those people knew it was not going to be a pretty season. Not pretty at all. And we'll talk about that momentarily. But let's get to business, to business, to business. And to business, it went wrong from Jump Street. I don't know if you read this earlier today, but the Elias Sports Bureau has changed the ruling. Josh Huff did not fumble the football. No. It was an onside kick. So that technically was not a turnover, but it was very, very ugly. Was this game, as stupid as this sounds, lost on the very opening kickoff?
Well, it sure felt that way. Let's put it that way. And, you know, and that's news to me. That's the first I've heard this. That's being ruled an onside kick. How did they figure this? I don't know. Did they see the same play I did? That's a very bizarre ruling, if you ask me. But I'll tell you, from a fan standpoint, you sat there and you just lost everything at that point. I mean, everything was just taken right out of you at that point. I mean, it's funny, Jim, because I sat around here for the past 2 days now thinking about this program, you know, inside the War Nest tonight. And I remember sitting here with you last week and I said, you know, this game could go. And I challenged you to convince me that
they
could win.
Mission impossible. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And I said at the end, I said, okay, well, all right. Eagles by two, but we could just as easily be coming back here next Wednesday and talking about this, you know, with the Dallas Cowboys leading the NFC East. And here we sit. But I'll tell you, it feels worse than it did when I talked about it last week, because I think now all of the reality of it has kind of sunk in. And to watch that open just the way that it did, it just spoke volumes to me, because I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, this couldn't begin any worse. And, you know, 21-0 by the beginning of the second quarter, it was almost as if we all knew that there was no way this was going to go any differently.
Yeah, it was bad news from Jump Street. We do a weekly game day thread on WarrenS.com's forums, and I'm talking with one of our fans who's a big USC Trojan guy. And we're literally saying to ourselves, if the Eagles go 3-and-out for the third consecutive drive, we're just going to call it a night. We're just not going to do anything further. And it damn near got to that point. I mean, the first three plays of the game, they gained 3 yards.
Yeah.
And it took to the third drive for them to get a first down and a little bit of a Bronx cheer as Darren Sproles did get that first down. And then the ball started rolling our way. The Eagles finally got to, they answered and then some with 24 unanswered points.
Yeah.
And they were even effective in the red zone. Holy crap, what a concept. And then something happened between when it was 24-21 and the end of the game, where the Eagles pretty much crapped the big one once again. And I think you look at it from a couple of aspects. Number one, the turnover game. The Eagles cannot afford to put it on the carpet or put it in the opponent's hands 3 or 4 times, and that's what they did Sunday night. And also, well, let's talk about the secondary first. Let's talk about the secondary because they are the bane of our existence. Everybody talks about the whole, oh, we need Mark Sanchez out of here. Oh, we want Nick Foles back. I'm sorry. Priority number one is let's get a fresh secondary, and dare I say, let's get a new defensive coordinator. What do you think, Mike?
Well, I'm not ready to jump on the defensive coordinator. See, and I think that's been that's the flavor of today, based on the way things happened this past Sunday, at least from what I've heard. Because it was just a couple of weeks ago, everybody was praising the DC. So therefore, I'm not ready to do that. I frankly think that there have been times that the defense has shown up quite nicely, and they've done a really, really decent job. Look,
In 14 games, how many times has – I'm not talking about the defense. I'm talking specifically the secondary, okay?
Well, there you go. Right.
How many times has the secondary shown up and played? Maybe twice in 14 games?
Sure. And look, we knew that, and we've talked about that right here on this program. We knew going into the season that that was going to be the weak link. We knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you blame the defensive coordinator for the fact that there just are two talentless individuals back there playing the corners? Is that what we do? Because I don't think that that's necessarily fair to the effort that's been put forth consistently all the way around on the defense. The front line has been quite good. We know that. So this is not a situation where the whole defense is at fault. It's a situation where we know that we have got a problem in the secondary. That's a problem that, in my opinion, should easily, and I'm saying this truly, easily be corrected in the offseason. I've never been quite sure why it wasn't addressed in this previous offseason going in, because we knew it at the end of last season. And it's easy to resolve that one. You can draft guys that can fit back there. You can draft them in the second, third, fourth round. Or the free agent market is not bad for players like that. You're not going to spend an arm and a leg.
Mm-hmm. I hope you're right. I have, and I'll bring this up later in the show, a suspicious feeling that Chip Kelly and company may not go that route for the draft. And we'll talk about that.
This year. Okay.
This year.
Let's bring up something else, too. I mean, this was brought up on a number of occasions this past week, particularly when you're talking about that secondary. You take a look at the Philadelphia Eagles team. Consistently, and even under the final years of the Andy Reid regime, this has been a team that's under the cap. There's no excuse. There is no excuse for the fact that we cannot afford to get the kinds of players that we need, particularly when you're talking about, and look, I'm not saying that it's just the secondary of the corners. Because, look, I think we've come to realize, too, one of the things we really need to be scouting out, and I think in the draft is where we want to be taking a look at this, is we need to be looking at a really, really good wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a number of key areas that the Philadelphia Eagles need to be looking at trying to plug here. But there's no reason why we should be having secondary issues when the Eagles are as far under the cap as they are.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And if it was easy to just say the front seven's doing the job, and they have been doing a great job, the secondary is killing us. I mean, Dez Bryant, for goodness sakes. Dez Bryant, three touchdowns after being held in check on Thanksgiving. 114 yards. He threw up three X's against us, as the kids say, and he was a factor. He was, I mean, Bradley Fletcher and Kerry Williams, their play left much to be desired, and that's the nicest way I can put it, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think the thing that was most disappointing as well, Jim, was the fact that, you know, as you pointed out, we came back. We came back from that 21-0 deficit. We put up 24 unanswered points. We were ahead 24-21. And for a minute or two, let's get it straight. How about five? I was actually feeling confident that perhaps, okay, we got this back in control. That's going to do it. But no, we let them go right back down the field again, scored another touchdown, DeMarco Murray, scored another one at the top of the fourth quarter from Dez Bryant. To allow them to just walk down the field and do that, to me, it was unconscionable. Absolutely unconscionable. On your own field, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where we have had a really good season this year, in a most pivotal game to just look lackluster and like they oh, okay, don't worry about it. We'll get that one back. Well, hey, it wasn't long into the fourth quarter. They're not getting it back.
Yeah, it was the ebbs and flows of this game were insane. They were insane. Mm-hmm. If you are wanting to call in, first of all, we again apologize for the tech issues. We have Brandon saying in the chat that the show had to end up restarting for him at one point. So if you're listening to the live show and things are restarting back and forth, not our fault. Blame the server. There's a reason why me and my CLW83 crew left Blog Talk Radio a couple of years back. Just saying. But, let's see if they cut us out now. If you're listening live, bless your heart. 347-826-9964. Weigh in on the situation with the secondary for the Eagles and also on two other aspects that seem to rear their ugly heads that I'm going to bring up now when it comes to the Eagles losing games. Let's talk about the run game, Michael. And once again, you have LeSean McCoy, okay? He's averaging better than 4 yards a carry. What do you have? 14 carries, 64 yards. Closer to 5 yards a carry. Something like that.
16 and 64,
and they,
4 yards. Right.
And they abandon the run.
Mm-hmm.
I understand when you trail, you can't run the ball when you're down 21 points. I get that. I really do. But this guy's getting you 4 yards a carry. He is money when he hits the ball. Why is it he getting the ball?
Yeah, it really smacked of Andy Reid, didn't it?
Yeah, that's yeah, it did. I'm going to tell you the God's honest truth. The more I see Chip Kelly, the more I see Andy Reid anymore.
Yep.
And I don't just mean it in his coaching style. The way he handles things in press conferences, it's starting to remind me of Big Red. It really is. And
I couldn't agree with you. Couldn't agree with you more, which is why I put the little comment in there at the end of the outline for this evening. You know, has Chip Kelly lost his luster, which we can talk about a little bit later. But, we've talked about the whole running game all season long. And you know, at different times we were putting the blame at the feet of McCoy. But at other times, we have been asking, and Jim, what has it been? Has it been half the season we've been asking, what the hell happened to Darren Sproles? It feels like it's been half the season. So
probably more.
This is not an issue. Listen, McCoy may have had a couple of off games. We give that. We grant that. That's fine. But the bottom line is the game planning has been horrendous for the most part, I think, with regard to the ground game. You're walking around here. We started the season with the number one rusher from 2013. And it didn't look like they had a clue about what they were doing with him almost from game one. I don't get it. I do not understand it. There were a couple other things, though, that jumped out at me, both on the offensive side of the ball and on the defensive side of the ball with this Cowboys game. And that was, as you watched it, it almost appeared that all they did was they took out the game plan from 2 weeks ago and dusted it off.
Yeah.
They did not take into account. They did not take into account the fact that this is a different Dallas team 2 weeks later. That was a team that was coming off of, what was it, 4 days rest. That this was a Tony Romo who had himself 10 days rest this time around versus four. Defensively, they were playing the exact same game plan. Offensively, they were playing the exact same game plan. If you're playing the same team, if there had been a stretch of, say, 10 games in between the first one that we played Dallas and the second one, well, you might be able to get away with that. But when there's only a two-week difference, you got to mix things up a little bit. And I really felt like as you were watching things, you're watching the exact same game plan being played out, and it wasn't going to work. I mean, particularly when this time around, as we pointed out, right from the very first kickoff, it wasn't going our way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just – words escape me. They really do to explain the deja vu sensation we've already seen, something we've already seen before, out of Chip Kelly and this Philadelphia offense, which lends ourselves to Sanchez being Sanchez, as you call it in the format so eloquently. He was 17 of 28. He completed just under 61% of his passes, 252 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. QBR of 60.4.
Yep.
Woohoo, he's taking us to the promised land. Now, where does one begin?
Raises a whole bunch of questions, I'll tell you right now. And look, we've got a bunch of scenarios sitting right in front of us for the next couple of days. Right in front of us, okay? We got a pivotal game that we have no control over that Indianapolis is going to be playing in Dallas. We're all sitting around rooting for Indianapolis. In the meantime, the Philadelphia Eagles have to go on the road and have to beat the Washington Redskins. And then the week after that, they have to go on the road and they have to beat the New York Giants. Both mm-hmm. those games on paper would appear, okay, the Eagles should be able to do their part of the job. Over on the other side, we're just not quite sure.
Especially when you consider that Indianapolis has clinched their division, I do believe.
Correct.
And, I mean, maybe they're playing for home field seating, but they may not be able to advance much more than where they are right now. So you don't know what you're going to get.
But one of the biggest questions, here's one of the bigger questions that comes up. Let's just say for a moment that we are fortunate enough, somehow or another, to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And frankly, I still contend, and I talked about it a little bit with Brandon last night on the Red Zone Blitz right here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network. I still contend I do not think you're going to get a wild card out of the NFC East. In order to get into the playoffs, you got to win the division. That's my contention.
Right.
But let's just say for a moment, we get fortunate and that happens.
The Chris Mahanaquan's a Ramadanica miracle. Okay, yeah.
There you go. I love that. We saw today Nick Foles was out taking some snaps.
Now, he was.
2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, I guess it would really be, 3 weeks from now, when the playoffs begin, and we've got, let's just say for a moment, we've got ourselves the potential of a healthy Nick Foles. Do you put him into the game? Look, he hasn't played in 8 weeks. Do you put him into the game?
This raises
all kinds of questions.
How
confident are we at going into game one, which may be a game that we have to play? Because bottom line is this. Eagles are not getting a number one or number two seed, so they're playing in the first week.
Yeah, and they're going to play at home.
Right, if they get there at all.
If they win the division.
How much confidence do you have in Sanchez?
Well, the answer to that is really another question. How much confidence do you have in Nick Foles? And the answer is about the same, because as I've said, I don't know how many times on the show, they are the same quarterback, more or less. And it goes back to the age-old question, and I was going to bring it up in the Is This Anything segment, but I'll preview it here. No retort yet. We'll talk about it in that segment. Sure. Do the Eagles look to the draft for a quarterback, perhaps one with ties familiar to a certain head coach? Just a thought, just a playful thought. Yes, we're talking suck for a duck. That's what we're going to talk about in Is This Anything.
Oh, I like
That's
that.
That's what they're
Did
calling it,
that,
suck for
Did
a
you
duck.
Make that one up?
No, I have to give credit to the folks at Awful Announcing for that one. In fact, let me see if I can find the paper. Probably the Oregonian that labeled it suck for a duck. It just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it, folks? It just rolls off the damn tongue. I get a kick out of somebody on my Facebook feed talking about another team that could use a quarterback, the Bears, and they put up a picture of someone they know who's available, and it's a picture of Tim Tebow. So there's... he's got Jesus on his side, so don't hate on that. You know, he's
The Bears. I can't. We're going to get into that one tomorrow night on the Frat House Sports Show. We're going
to
get
which
into
which you can listen to at blogtalkradio.com.
If they're behaving, right? If Blog Talk Radio is behaving tomorrow night, we will be able to. You'll be able to hear that live at 7 p.m. right here. But we're going to get into the whole QB thing all around the league. Jay Cutler, you can't move him. Chicago can't move him. That's why Trestman is gone. They're not going to be able to. Jay Cutler is going to have his third head coach in what will it be? 4 years, 5 years,
something like that. Yeah, 4 or 5 years. The monsters of the Midway are not really monsters these days. That's the best way I can put it. They are they're minions at best, and not the cute minions, if you will, either.
Well, They're certainly rivaling teams like Washington right now and the Jets for dysfunctionality.
Oh, look at you with a great segue. Hey! You know, we have to look at the positive in life. We do. Because if there's any way the Eagles can come back and start the road to redemption, or at least to getting the same record as they did last year, what lies ahead Saturday afternoon could be a nice start, and that is facing the Washington Professional Football Team. Who am I kidding? They are the most dysfunctional team in the National Football Conference.
Maybe are you deeming it as such? You're deeming that as such?
Well, now in the NFC, well, that's
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. NFC, AFC.
No. You're right to question that because San Francisco gives them a run for the money.
Oh, I agree.
San Francisco, I didn't think about that. Yeah, the 49ers, what a cluster they are, too, I tell you. But let's talk about the game ahead with Washington, a game that, as we mentioned, we should win on paper. The Eagles should win on paper. But anymore, who's to say? By the way, normally this is a segment of the show we were worried to go behind enemy lines. For those of you just tuning in, we're not doing that this week because the owners of Scout.com's Redskins website are non-existent. They haven't updated their site in 9 months.
Wow.
So and you even know, they you know,
When you mentioned that to me last night, Jim, I got to be honest. I'm sitting back and I'm going, you know, this year would have been a great opportunity for somebody to jump in there and take over that thing. Because, look, you had a lot of optimism at the beginning of the season for the Redskins.
Sure.
You
had RG3 coming back.
Back, right. You got RG3. You got a brand new coach.
Right.
You know, somebody must have known something down there about that they just sat back and said, nah,
not worth it. Not worth the big bucks or lack thereof that they would have been getting for running the site. Nope, not worth it. So good on you, DCFootball.com owners or whatever the name of the site is. But let's talk about it. It has been a quarterback carousel that just keeps spinning and spinning and spinning. 1 week it's RG3. Then you hear that Jay Gruden's given up on RG3 and goes with Colt McCoy. And then Colt McCoy goes down. And, of course, earlier this season you had Kirk Cousins, who was everybody thought, oh, he'd be the best quarterback in this whole setup, and then he's injured. It's like, yeah, help.
Mm-hmm. 5 times they've made changes at the QB position. 5 times now.
Yeah.
In what are we talking? 14 games. Holy smokes. And, you know, when I was looking over some numbers earlier today, what are the two numbers, Jim, that I look at? Completion percentage and QB
and
rate.
QBR. Yeah.
Right. Now, the most productive of them all in that market has been Colt McCoy, followed by RG3, followed by Kirk Cousins. I'll go Kirk Cousins. By virtue of, I think, actually playing more games than just about any of the others, actually has more touchdowns. But, as a result, also has more interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they were probably right at the time that they did to bail on Kirk Cousins, based on just the statistical data that I took a look at. RG3 really hasn't played few games that he has played.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to have become more of a personal problem. I mean, that's really what it jumps out at. RG3 has a 70% completion rate. Yeah, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Like I said, he hasn't played near as many games. But his QB rating is an 89.8. I don't know what to make of it. You know, look, we've heard a lot of stories about, whether, you know, is Dan Snyder going to do a one and done with Jay Gruden because of all the investment that was made into RG3? Then we heard the report last week, no, Jay Gruden is safe. Then I'm asking the question, okay, well, what does that mean for RG3? Because it seems like these two guys just can't get along. Now the report coming out today is, guess what? Dan Snyder has absolutely no intention to make any changes whatsoever in this team. Jay Gruden sees, and so does RG3. Suck it up, you two. Get along.
That may be actually the first right move Dan Snyder has made ever. Honest to goodness. I mean, you're going to try to put RG3 on the market. Somebody's going to take him if he's out on the market. And we talked about it on the show a few weeks back. It'd be a fun idea if the Philadelphia Eagles took a flyer on him.
Couldn't
Agreed. Hurt. I think he would do wonders in this offense compared to Sanchez and to Nick Foles. And then you look at the one-and-done Jay Gruden thing. I can't see them just there's part of me that can see him leaving, it being canned after 1 year, but there's part of me that doesn't. I'm 50-50 on that. I really am. Yeah, I mean,
well,
Dan
Snyder,
and I
were talking about.
Yeah.
Brandon and I were talking about the other evening here, and you got to remember, all coaches' contracts guaranteed. He's got a 5-year contract, Jay Gruden, and
right.
I think we guesstimated that Dan Snyder would be on the hook for anywhere from $16 to $17 million.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, considering all the money he's now, shelling out to save face right now, maybe that's a fair investment. I don't know.
Well, coaches don't go against the cap, so, you know.
Right. So he's got that going for him. Plus, he's already doling out money to I don't know how many Indian reserves at this point in time, Snyder, that is.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a proud name, Washington. Proud team. It means honor, and no, it doesn't. Talk about a couple of things on the positive side for Washington, and that would be the running of Alfred Morris,
yes,
and the wide receiver play of DeSean Jackson, and of course Pierre Garçon. That's your offense. They have weapons on offense. Can they do well against? Well, can Morris get through the Eagles' front seven, and can Jackson and Garçon burn the Eagles' secondary? Is what I'm asking.
It's going to depend on RG3. That's what it's going to depend on. You know, which RG3 is going to show up. Which RG3 is going to show up on Saturday. I think here's where I sit with it. I'm fairly comfortable with the Eagles front seven being able to shut down the run. We've seen a pretty good job of that, with the exception of last weekend. Really, what did Murray end up with? Hold on, man. I've got the numbers right here.
No problem. 31
carries, 81 yards. All right, so that really was comparable to what the Eagles did against Murray down in Dallas, where I think he only came out of that game with about 76 yards.
73, so, something like that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, okay, I'm fairly confident that the Eagles can shut down Alfred Morris, albeit he's, I think, in the top. Where is he? He's in the top 10. Yeah, he's number 8 right now in the league. But we have shown a consistency in being able to shut down the run. Now, let me make a prediction here right now that's going to make every stinking Eagles fan out there cringe. Expect at least one touchdown from DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
Well, there could be more. There could be more.
Jackson, of course, put his name right back on the bulletin board this week, as we'll talk about a little bit later on as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And Garçon, and it's the one thing that I come back to when we talk about this team over the course of the bulk of this season. It's not the primary wide receivers who do the most damage. Dez Bryant is kind of the outlier to everything, because usually we get burnt by the secondary and tertiary wide receivers and tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
And Garçon would fit
Correct.
In as a secondary wide receiver, as a good number 2, number 3 wide receiver in any team in this league, maybe a number 1 in this team, I don't know. But Garçon is somebody they've got to watch out for.
Couldn't agree more. And you're absolutely right. That's great analysis that, in fact, that's a lot of times where the Eagles are getting beat. A lot of times our guys are absolutely, they're targeting the main, you know, the WR1s and what's getting left behind, your WR2, your WR3. So Garçon fitting into that WR2 position, absolutely. That could be a situation. But Jackson, I'm telling you, being at home against this Eagles team, where his numbers have not been near as good as I think everybody thought they were going to be this year, mm-hmm. coming off of the kind of performances that he had with the Philadelphia Eagles for the years that he was here with us, this is not one happy camper, trust me. And there is nothing he would love to do more than to burn our hide on the way out the door.
No pun intended, because you're referring to a team, Washington, that's nicknamed. Okay, I'm going to stop that train. I had to go there again. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry to sound all Keith Olbermann. How dare you, sir? But yeah, what else can you say? If you have thoughts and feelings on Philadelphia, Washington this Saturday afternoon, remember it's a Saturday afternoon game about, 4:30 in the afternoon on NFL Network.
Yep.
Well, it's 4:20 somewhere, Mike. You know that, brother.
Exactly.
Not that you would know specifically. BTR cares. Give us a call, 347-826-9964. Can Philadelphia run the table? Can they get to the postseason? Do you want them to get to the postseason? Maybe a better question. 347-826-9964. We'll take your calls. Of course, we're in the chat. We're rocking and rolling there. Brandon and Uncle Mark are in the hizzy, faux shizzy, and ready to talk a little football with you and you and you and you and you.
I guess it's up and running okay, right? I guess
apparently said that they've come in and out of the chat a couple of times, but I think they're trying to kick the
chat room
the
became a revolving door there for a little while.
Kind of like the quarterback situation in Washington. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. We thank BTR for that. It's the shopping season. Reminds me of the old department stores with the revolving door.
The old Lit Brothers, right?
Exactly. Strawbridge and Clothier, places
John
like that.
John Wanamaker. Yeah.
Yeah, there
friend
you go.
Of mine's gone. Friend of mine the last 2 days has gone to the Wanamaker Light Show. Very nice. It's the Macy's Light Show, but still.
It's wonderful they still do it. And I must be honest, hate to admit this, but I haven't actually seen it probably since my kids were quite young, which we're talking now 20-plus years ago. I certainly hope it's exactly the same as it was. If anybody's out there in the Philadelphia region that would like to talk about the John Wanamaker Light Show, give us a call here at 347-826-9964.
Should I spoil one thing for you?
Go ahead.
They've changed the soundtrack in the last few years.
John Facenda? It used to be John Facenda.
I believe it's Julie Andrews.
Really?
Yeah. I'll check on that as we go forward here. But I do believe Julie Andrews does it now, and it's a damn shame if that's the case.
Years ago, Jim, it was John Facenda, you know, the old voice
recorded,
of NFL films.
And NFL films. Yep. In fact, one of my friends, Steve Bryan, I'll pick that name up, put it back in my back pocket, late of QVC, he was in, I don't know if it was for that recording session or not, but he's been in a recording session or two with John Facenda, and Uncle John, as he called him, was quite the character. So
I can bet.
According to this, I'm going to Wikipedia, which is never, ever wrong. Beginning in 2006 under Macy's, Julie Andrews became the show's narrator. And in 2006, the Santa Express train at the top of the Grand Court returned. So there you go. So
Julie Andrews. Now we're really getting into some in-depth trivia. Was that a recent? That must have been a recent
2006.
Recording of Julie Andrews.
Yeah,
okay, but it's not from like years ago. It was something they had done. Wow.
Well, it was a Macy's decision because Macy's took over what was John Wanamaker's. This just tells you how much we care about the game on Saturday, folks. We're talking about a light show. Where are the Fountains? There are no Fountains anymore.
Just one more FYI, non sequitur. When I had a chance to meet Steve Sable many, many, many years ago, back in the mid-80s, before he only passed away, about 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I heard some incredible, wonderful stories about John Facenda as the NFL Films, of course, was just getting going with Steve Sable's dad. Just great, great stories. I had a chance to actually sit down with Steve Sable at one point back in around, I would say, about 1986. And it was what an experience that was.
Interesting is Steve's office has been left unchanged since his passing.
You want to know what's interesting? And again, a non sequitur.
Yeah.
We're talking about John Wanamaker. Way back when I was a kid, you could go all the way up to the very, very, very top floor of the John Wanamaker building, which I believe was like floor number, might have been like floor 13 or something. Floor 13, I think, was like there was – It was the floor just above the big tour department where they used to have
the monorail flying around the
ceiling. So floor 13 was just above that. After John Wanamaker had passed, they sealed his office, and you could actually look into the glass through the big enormous glass windows, and you could see exactly how the office was left the day before he passed. There was a letter on his desk that he was handwriting. There were coats and top hats and things that were in different places around there, and you could see the way his office was left. It was fascinating.
Yeah, same sort of thing.
How do you like
our
football track?
Yeah, how about those Washington professional chuckleheads, ladies and gentlemen? I tell you.
Well, it is the holiday season, and it does bring up a lot.
It is the season, and it's Philadelphia, and we'll talk. Stay tuned for talk of the Gimbel's Thanksgiving Day Parade coming up.
There you go.
Before Channel 6 saved them in the late 80s and almost didn't kill the tradition. No. Let's see if we can get this back on track to talk about the game, which is kind of a laugher on paper. But again, it speaks to a large question that, that I want to bring up right now.
Mm-hmm.
Chip Kelly's offense.
Yep.
The tempo offense, as it's affectionately known. Have other defenses figured out the offense, or has Chip Kelly improperly managed the tempo offense? Because, and the reason I ask this is, this team could be down 21-0. They're still playing the same kind of offense, and it just doesn't work. We saw it against Dallas Sunday night. This team cannot play a tempo-style offense when they're trailing by two scores or more, because they're going to inevitably go three and out. It does not work.
Well, you and I talked about this a little bit last week, after the loss to Seattle. And I said, take a look at this at the time of possession. Time of possession this week, Jim, against the Cowboys was identical to what we saw against the Seahawks. Almost 42 minutes of offense for the Cowboys, 18 minutes of offense for the Philadelphia Eagles, which meant our defense was on the field for 42 minutes. This is a defense, as I pointed out last week, and as we talked about right at the top of the show here, suspect in the secondary, not the greatest defense in the world. We already know that. What are they ranked? 28th? 26th? 26th overall. You know, is that the kind of game plan that is really prudent? And then you start to wonder whether Kelly just being arrogant, you know, oh, I'm not worried about it. Our guys will outscore everybody. And then, of course, it brings up the other questions. Have other teams caught on to us? Not that, I'll take this back a moment. I don't think they've caught on to everything, but I think they may have caught on to, look, we know that under these circumstances, this is what we're going to have to do. It's not like they're catching on to what the play calls are going to be. It's that they've caught on to, as you're saying, the tempo. And so they know when they're playing against the Philadelphia Eagles, all right, guys, we have to prepare for this game differently than we would say against the Chicago Bears, okay, who don't move at all. And I think that that's really what perhaps maybe they have caught on to. I was always suspect of it right from day one, right from the announcement, Chip Kelly's coming in here, and I called it way back in the day, right from the day that we've got the Chip Kelly gizmo offense coming in here. And that's always the way that I viewed it in Oregon, and I've always been suspect of it as to whether it would be effective in the NFL. I think at times it has shown it has. I think what he's got to do is show more versatility. Mm-hmm. It's becoming predictable. That's the problem.
Let me flip sides here for a second while tangentially, staying with the concept of Chip Kelly's offense, because it does rub off on the defense big time, in that they're on the field 2 to 3 times longer than most defenses are. Bill Davis, in his press conference yesterday, Tuesday I should say, for those of you listening in archive, said, and I'm getting the paraphrasing from the Eagles insider Twitter account, "We train to be able to play 80 snaps per game. We haven't seen any dip from our players due to play counts." I mean, 80 snaps a game, isn't that a bit, doesn't that speak also to the fact that, you know, Bill Davis doesn't have the confidence in the Eagles offense, or knows that they're a quick strike offense and their guys are going to be out there 40 minutes a game every game?
80 is giving up an awful lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, 80 is saying, I don't have any confidence in my defense.
Well, again, he's the defensive coordinator, so it also says, I don't have any confidence in my offense either.
I wouldn't necessarily say that it says that, because I think that here's where it's coming down. I think that Davis, a la Chip Kelly, are probably on the same page, which is our offense can score faster than everybody else's. So therefore, our guys, by virtue of that, aren't going to be on the field as long. It's not a matter of I don't have any confidence in them. I have so much confidence in them, they're going to score faster at twice the rate, three times the rate of everybody else's offense. That's where the arrogance comes in. And see, that's where I'm talking about. Is it arrogant? I don't think it's a matter of not having confidence. I think it's a matter of having too much confidence.
I see your point. I mean, it's a little mind-numbing to me because you're setting yourself up for failure, really. If you're going to tell your defense, okay, you're going to play 80 snaps a game, you figure you're going to be out there 35, 40 minutes a game every week, and you're already spent in practice, who knows what condition you're going to be on the field. And again, it comes back to that high tempo, not just offense, but the high intensity practices that Chip Kelly and company run at the NovaCare Complex. Sometimes you say to yourself, are these guys really conditioned based on what Chip Kelly's trying to do to even properly play on Sunday, or in this case, Saturday?
I think that when you hear Bill Davis make the comment about 80 snaps, that's what you can expect the defense to be out there for.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds to me like he doesn't have as much confidence in the defense. In other words, why does it have to be 80? Let's cut that to 60. Why can't you say we're preparing for 60? Our guys are going to hold you.
That's true. I see what you're saying.
Turn the table. In other words, Bill Davis should be looking at it and going, turn the table. Fine. The offense doesn't want to be out here on the field that often. Guess what? My guys don't either. I'm going to hold you guys to 60, and that's what I'm demanding. I'm demanding you hold them. See, this is coming back to the Jim, it comes back to everything we've talked about for the past couple of weeks, maybe for the better part of three quarters of the season so far. The secondary. That's where he doesn't have the confidence. He doesn't have the confidence there. And because, look, just look at the – and, you know, I wanted to go to this one, too, real quick. You know, we talk about – people talk about the Philadelphia – what are they? They're a 9-5 team, right? This is a team that could end up 11-5, could. Wow, that's a great season. No. We lost to the 49ers. Boy, would we like to be playing the 49ers right now at this time of the season, not at the beginning of the season? You're damn right. We lost to the 49ers. We lost to the Cardinals. Boy, would we like to be playing the Cardinals right now, not earlier in the season? You're darn right. We lost to the Packers. We lost to the Seahawks. We lost to the Cowboys in the second time around. The Eagles have not won against a quality team.
Save maybe for Indianapolis.
And there was a lot of luck involved in that one. But I'll give it to them. I'll give them that one. But, that one kind of takes away from the fact we got – I'm sorry, I don't care what anybody says. We got lucky in game one and damn near lost to Jacksonville.
True. Very true. I'd like to forget that game ever happened, ladies and gentlemen, but it did, and there you go. And, you can only play the schedule that's given to you. And usually if you're a first-place team, you get a tougher schedule. They really didn't this year. They really didn't. They got a fairly cupcake schedule.
I think a lot of people thought it was going to be tough because you had all those NFC West teams.
Yeah, and last year they were all bunched up. I mean, 10-6 didn't get you in if you were the Cardinals, so yeah.
Well, and a lot of teams, I think a lot of people thought, okay, well, San Francisco is going to be, you know, they're going to come back, they're going to have the strong seasons that they've had in the past. You got Arizona, who's an up-and-comer. Well, who'd have thunk Arizona would be the number one seed right now in the NFC?
Right.
You got Seattle, who's the defending Super Bowl champions. Hey, even the Rams were starting to look really, really good. And I think the Rams could have had a damn good season had they not had so many quarterback problems. They had an awful lot of injuries with the Rams there. You know, I kind of feel bad for Jeff Fisher because he just can't seem to get get any luck going at all.
He can't. And yet his team is still on the verge of being a 500 team.
True.
Still.
Yep.
I mean, he is making the best of a bad situation, simply put. And God bless him. I mean, I'd love for him to be coaching at a, you know, here, shall we say. I would have liked to have had him if we couldn't get Kelly. So I'm sure there's some people right now are probably saying we want Fisher right now. But go ahead, Mike.
Well, you take a look at the beginning of the season, and people say, well, okay, it wasn't all that difficult a schedule. I think, you know, preseason, going into the season, not a lot of us were actually thinking that. You know, you had to play Green Bay in there. You had to play all that NFC West out there. On paper, I think it was a fair schedule for what the Eagles were coming out of last season, which was a 10-6 team that lost in the first round. So I thought it was a fair schedule for them.
Yeah.
But when you look at it right now, We came out of last year 10-6, and we were flying high. We could come out of this year 11-5 with a better record and go, you know something? I'm not impressed. Now, isn't
more
that
questions
crazy?
Than answers? Yeah,
isn't that crazy? Think about that one.
It is a wee bit mind numbing to say the very least. But ultimately, what the Eagles have to do can be summed up in the words of a former coach.
Obviously, we've got to do a better job.
Thank you, Big Red. Yes, I had to play that. I had to. I was
no problem
sitting on it for a little while.
No problem.
You know what else we have to play? Speaking of the word play, it's time once again, ladies and gentlemen,
uh-oh,
if I can find the... don't tell me the sound effect's gone.
Uh-oh.
You got to be kidding me. I'm checking
the
soundboard here.
Check the very bottom.
Oh, there it is. Here we go. It's time once again for... we haven't done this in a couple of weeks. It's America's fastest growing quiz sensation where I talk to Mike and ask him the important questions about some on- and off-the-field things related to the Philadelphia Eagles. It's time once again for, with apologies to Worldwide Pants and David Letterman, Is This Anything?, where we question whether things are important or not to take a look at. First thing of interest, I go to a little piece from Ruben Frank of Comcast Sportsnet Philadelphia, talking about practice this week. We talk
practice.
About practice.
Practice,
not the game, not the game, not the game I bleed, sweat, and die for. We talking about
for.
What?
Practice.
I know it's fun to me too. Should I say my Allen Iverson story? What the hell?
Okay, yeah, go ahead. I mean, this is that's been the kind of night it is. That's the kind of
hey, you talking about Wanamakers for God's sake? You know?
Exactly, it's nostalgia night. Why not?
It's nostalgia night. Well, this isn't nostalgia. It was the first time I went to Sugar House Casino, where my lovely friend Alicia was working. Now is working somewhere closer to where she lives in Vineland. Hi, Alicia. How you doing? Congratulations to you and the soon to be hubby. Well, anyway. So I'm minding my business. I'm with my aunt, and she's playing the penny slots. And I look over my shoulder, and no further than 10 feet away from me is Allen Iverson playing at a 3-card poker table. Yeah. And let's just say you know about Allen Iverson's money doings. You know what I mean?
That one was roped off, right?
No, it wasn't. It was public.
No? Wow.
No, he was... Let me rephrase this. It wasn't roped off, but there was security there, so I couldn't go and be like, "Hey, me and my dad love you." Would have been awkward, and he probably would have charged for an autograph. And I'd say, "We don't love you that much."
Yeah, exactly. Well, you got to make up for some of the losses that he probably was suffering from at that point.
Yeah.
What year was that?
That's a sad tale. No,
what
that
year
was
that?
Like 2 months ago.
Oh damn! Wait a minute. Wasn't he in bankruptcy like about 3-4 years ago?
Yeah. I mean, that's why he was playing in Turkey for $1 million a couple years ago. Yeah.
Wow.
Sad that I also got to see some flyers in the high rollers area. Not that I was there, but Alicia, who, you know, worked in credit, took me over by there, and I got to see some flyers playing in the high stakes end of the casino. Very exciting.
Claude Giroux?
I believe yes, he was there.
I think because he is. He's a frequent. I've heard he is a frequent one for down there.
Indeed, and she I believe Alicia did work with Allen Iverson in the credit department. So there you go. Mm.
Well, God knows somebody had to work with him in the credit department.
Well, if you're gonna work with somebody, work with my friend Alicia. She's an absolute doll, a sweetheart, and she loves chinchillas. There you go. I don't get it. All right, back to Is This Anything? I'm not going to play the jingle again just yet. So, Eagles practice Wednesday. It started a little different here, because instead of LeSean McCoy, who was a full practice participant from all accounts, it was Chris Polk who was running with the first team early on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Eagles practice is usually close to the media. The first several sessions are open, and on those first several sessions, we got to see Polk with the group. He was the only non-starter in the scheme of things with the A-team.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chris Polk starting with the starters.
Mm-hmm.
I ask you, Mike McShane.
Yes, Jim Williams, it is. It is a publicity stunt.
That's what this show has been all the way. Portion brought to you by the monorail, which is now, I think, at the Please
exactly.
Touch Museum.
You know what? I think you're actually right.
Go ahead. Chris Polk starting with the playing with the
now
with the A-team.
Now we're doing advertisements for the Please Touch Museum. No,
the kids' museum, ladies and gentlemen, not an adult one. Let's go there. Continue.
Oh no.
Oh no.
But
oh, we have that here, don't we?
I think so. There's something on there someplace.
Oh no!
Thank you very much. Go ahead.
It could be. Yeah, that
we couldn't do diddly poo.
But
what the? Okay.
The what was I going to say? No, Yeah. Thanks. You had me thinking about monorails. It was a publicity stunt. That's where I'm coming from on it.
Okay.
No, there's nothing to be made of it. There's been a lot of media talk and media, you know, attention placed on LeSean McCoy. What's the matter with LeSean McCoy? Why aren't we playing Chris Polkmore? This is a guy who could do more. Why don't we get him more snaps? All right. And so what Chip Kelly did, very simply, the first couple of, rounds of practice are open to the media. Come on in. Look at there. Go ahead. Go report that. And let's see where that one goes. And then everybody will be. I'm not saying that you won't see a little bit more of Chris Polk. It's very possible, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't get all in a lather over thinking that, suddenly Chris Polk is going to be taking LeSean McCoy's place. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go that far. I was just looking at it from the aspect that, you know, he had all the goal line situations there for Philadelphia Sunday night, and he excelled in the short yardage goal line situation. Maybe you see a little bit more of that from him relieving LeSean McCoy and thus making fantasy football players in their championship game facepalm to death. Just a thought.
Yeah, he had 2 carries for 6, huh? Okay, and both of them he was successful.
But they were both punched in for the touchdown, so that's what I'm talking about.
All right.
Let's move on. Let's talk about your main man, DeSean Jackson, as we referenced him earlier. DeSean Jackson on Monday had a few choice words about the Philadelphia Eagles wide receiving corps. And as one of the articles on CSNPhilly.com eloquently stated, DeSean Jackson feels the same way you do about Riley Cooper. The official quote is, "They still got Macklin. I'm happy for my boy. He's been dealing all year, but it's Macklin, and that's all they got. So it's Jeremy Macklin and nobody else. That's it." So, the question must be raised. I said the question must be raised. I'll tell you what's something. BTR tonight, but continue.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you what it is. It's the truth. DeSean Jackson speaks true. I think we've all come away recognizing that Riley Cooper, what in the world were they doing off-season giving him that extension that the way he did? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Riley Cooper was successful last year because of DeSean Jackson. That's the bottom line. We know that.
Yeah.
He opened up the field for him, and Nick Foles was able to spot him. That was the bottom line. It was a fantasy dream for people that were going in mid-season and picking up Riley Cooper. Obviously, DeSean's taken a swipe at the Philadelphia Eagles early in the week as we enter this 15th game of the season, but it's really not a swipe. It's the truth.
Yeah, well, the only thing I will disagree with him on is the number two wide receiver on this team is Jordan Matthews for my money. And save for his performance last night, he is a viable number two wide receiver. I think he's going to continue to improve as the rest of the season finishes out and as next season comes forth. He's going to be a factor on this offense. So I'm all right with the I'm all for slights when it comes to Riley Cooper. You know that about me.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles have two wide receivers. Occasionally, Ertz can get the job done. Selleck occasionally. Maybe they have 2.5. I don't know. You split the tight ends in half, that's a half. I don't know. So there you go. So interesting.
Well, it's like I said though, earlier in the program here. There's a number of different holes the Eagles are going to have to look at in the offseason.
Right.
Let's get it straight. Yeah, let's get it straight. We're not a Super Bowl team, and we're not going to be this year, and that's the bottom line, folks. If you still believe it.
Yeah. You might want to put down the eggnog.
Yeah, one wide receiver is something we have to look at in the offseason.
Absolutely. And another thing you might want to look at is quarterback, and here it is, the Oregon situation. All right, here we go. Marcus Mariota, he won the Heisman last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
His play has been phenomenal at Oregon. And, of course, when you think of Oregon, you think of, well, Chip Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it has left many, combine that with the play of Russell Wilson a couple of weeks ago against Philadelphia, it's left many on our WarNest.com forums to speculate and offer conjecture that maybe, just maybe, the Eagles, despite not being anywhere near a position to draft him, might try to move up and make a play for Marcus Mariota. Maybe, and now I'm only hypothesizing here. The only way I think that can be done is if they pull a Mike Ditka, Ricky Williams sort of deal and pretty mm-hmm. much trade away the whole draft and pick him up, give or take. But Mariota in Eagles midnight green, question mark, question mark, question mark. I ask you, Mike McShane, if the button works this time.
It's possible. It's highly improbable.
Right.
Who was I listening to today?
Were you listening to the Wanamaker pipe organ? Perhaps?
No. I remember. I haven't been down there in a while.
Well,
no,
that's,
I think it was.
They have albums.
I think it was, oh, do they? I'll have to look those up on YouTube. Sal Palantonio, I believe it was, indicated that apparently the word from Tampa Bay, who is, you know, potentially in line to get the number one pick in the draft, the word mm-hmm. from Tampa Bay would be that if the Philadelphia Eagles called for their pick, their demands would be the Eagles' first and second round picks in 2015 and 2016, and one top flight defensive player. So you're looking at Fletcher Cox or somebody to that extent.
Mm.
That is what they would be asking. Now, the question becomes,
yeah,
would that be something that Eagles fans would be willing to do in order to get Marcus Mariota? Would it be something that the Eagles management would do in order to get Marcus Mariota? I'm going to tell you right now, if I were the Eagles management, it would make me nervous unless I had a commitment from Chip Kelly that he was going absolutely nowhere for the next 6 to 7 to 8 years.
Mm. So if you were to put a percentage to it, let's put it that way, of any chance of it possibly happening, you would say it would be like what percent?
Of it happening or of it being attempted?
Attempted.
I think the Eagles absolutely probably will make some inquiries.
Absolutely, probably.
I think, yes, absolutely, probably. No, absolutely will make some inquiries. Look, that's all part of due diligence. You're going to do that. That's what you do.
Fair enough.
You're going to make that. You're going to make the call. Now, whether you can satisfy the request on the backside or not, that's a different story. Whether they would seriously consider whatever the request is on the backside, that's even a different story.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to make the inquiry. Are they going to try it? Yeah, they're probably going to try it. Would I like to see them try it? Yeah. Do I want them to sell the farm? No.
Right.
No, because I think that we could. There's going to be free agents out there on the market, quarterback-wise, mm-hmm. next year. I think here's where I am. Nick Foles is not our quarterback. Next year, the year after that. Mark Sanchez is not our quarterback next year, the year after, the year after that. We need to be looking at the free agent market. Keep your eye on what's happening in the draft, but look at the free agent market.
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay. And there are other people that are being discussed as well. All right, you know, we were talking about it a little bit. RG3 has been talked about, but I don't think that's really likely. Cam Newton's been talked about. I don't think that's really likely. Jay Cutler's been talking. I don't think that's really likely. But could we get by with a Brian Hoyer for a couple of years? Could we get by with a Colt McCoy? Colt McCoy is a free agent next year. Ryan Mallett is a free agent next year. Could we get by with one of these guys for two seasons and then let that draft continue to develop and see what comes out of the collegiate level?
Very intriguing. CC, I'm very intrigued. Speaking of quarterbacks, one final one for you here. Did you catch this little nugget over the news wire today? It involves Troy Aikman and how he almost played for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I think it's great.
It's an interesting story. He was calling a football game, and at halftime, he got a nudge from one of his producers telling him to make a phone call. He said, quote, "Hey, did you hear what happened? Yeah, we did a game break. Well, I want to talk to you about coming to Philadelphia." And on the other end of the phone, it was Andy Reid. "Andy, we're in the middle of a broadcast. It's halftime right now." "I know, I'm watching the game." "Okay, I'll call you after the game." Well, Aikman talked to his Fox producer, made the call to Norv Turner, his former offensive coordinator with the Cowboys, which didn't help Reid's cause a little bit. This was around November. This was 02, I believe it was. And ultimately, the Eagles didn't do that. They went with A.J. Feely, and things sort of worked out okay. But just the thought that Troy Aikman, on the backside of his concussed career, could have been a Philadelphia Eagle under Andy Reid's quote-unquote tutelage, the man who brought us Doug Peterson, for God's sakes. I ask you, in hindsight,
for me, Jim, I'll tell you what it is. It's respect for Big Red.
Okay.
Because in 2002, that was the season that we lost Don McNabb to a broken ankle.
Correct.
So there was Andy sitting on the sideline. And look, just take note of the timing of the phone call. He wasn't going to let another blade of grass grow under his feet. "I'm doing this. I'm doing it now. I don't care whether it's during the game." Hey, listen, he was attempting to be forward-thinking. Whether it would have been the right thing to do or not, I don't know. But, hey, we were just talking about due diligence. I give him respect.
Well, there you go. There you go. And that does it for this installment of, I'm telling you, the band does a workout with that. They hit the exact same notes and everything. It's amazing. It's really
amazing.
Yeah,
if they would just get their act together and play at the time that we want them to. You know?
I don't know what could be the problem.
I really can't imagine either. I really don't know.
So let's put this
up in
the nice
operator. Must be an operator error. Operator error.
There you go. So let's put this in a nice, tidy Chris Mahana, Kwanzaa Ramadanica bow.
There you go.
McShane, Eagles, Reds, Washington Professional, Reds, whatever you... The team in D.C., who you got and what's the score?
Well, Eagles are favored by 7.5. I don't like the
line. There it comes.
Line.
Yep, I forgot. I forgot. I should have given you the prelude. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Yes, 7.5 point road favorite. The over-under is 50.5.
50.5, right. I don't like the line, and the line actually has dropped in favor of Washington. So when I first looked at it yesterday, it was 8+, and now it's 7.5. But I don't like the line, but I'm going to be a homer. I got to say that the Eagles are going to win this game. I like the Eagles by 5 or 6 points, but not by the line. So I'll be when I make my picks against the line, I'll be picking for Washington. But I like the Eagles to win, and that's just a lot of hopeful, wishful. Hey, let's get the next two games to go exactly the way we need them to. Let's get Indianapolis to beat the Dallas Cowboys. We've got further problems right now. Late breaking news, apparently, right before we went to air. You know, one of the other ones we've been looking at is Detroit. Eagles could get in if Detroit lost twice. Detroit is going to Chicago. Mark Trestman has made the announcement that Jay Cutler is benched for Jimmy Clausen.
Well, Detroit's going to win.
Yep. And that'll take Detroit out of the equation, because in order for the Eagles to get in, Detroit would have to lose two in a row.
Right. So and that would be as a wild card, correct?
Correct. Yeah. But if we can get Indy to beat Dallas, I'm
and then
say
we control
Eagles,
our own fate again if the
exactly.
Eagles win.
Correct. Then I would say the Eagles. I'm going to pick the Eagles by. I don't have an exact score, but I'll tell you that I'll pick them to win by 5 or 6.
State for you.
Go ahead.
I've got from Bovada.lv, ladies and gentlemen. It's actually the Eagles favored by 9 right now.
Really? Holy!
It shot up to 9. Yeah.
Which
lends to my prediction pretty well. I think the Eagles win by 17. I don't have a score exactly either. Well, I think it comes down to they're playing a team that is at odds ends. I think they're PO'd, and they have something to prove to themselves more than anybody else after what's happened the last 2 weeks. And getting on the road might be the best thing for them. I will tell you this and preface our show next week by saying this. After the recent events of the last couple of weeks, not just for Philadelphia, but for New York, that season finale against the Giants.
Agreed.
That game's going to be a lot tougher than you think.
Yep. I couldn't agree more.
Because the Giants are more or less, now reports came in earlier this week that Tom Coughlin is 99.9% assured his job next season.
Amazing.
The Giants still have a shot to go 7-9, if I'm not mistaken, this season. Yep. Let me double check the standings, so I want to make sure I'm correct on this, but I believe they're 5-9 right now.
They're 5-9 right now. They could go 7-9. Yep.
Yeah. And they face, who did they face this coming week? They face St. Louis. That's not going to be easy in St. Louis. But if they don't get to 6-10 at the very least, I still think Coughlin is potentially gone. I don't care. Anytime management, I've learned this over the years of covering sports, anytime management gives you the seal of approval, it's really a death knell. So I don't know.
This is the situation. We've talked about this one over on Frat House Sports and on the Red Zone Blitz program. But this is a situation, Jim, where management does not want to come out and fire him. They would prefer
They'd rather him retire.
Exactly. That's what the preference would be. There is not a soul in the management office over there at the Giants that would be saddened one bit if Tom Coughlin walked in and said, "Guys, I've had enough. I'm going to go." You know, then that's going to be it. Nobody would be upset.
Let me ask you: Do you think he would do that though? Because I'll tell you right now,
It doesn't seem that way after this season. Now I'll tell you: if in fact he gets a reprieve and he goes through another season with a 6-9 record or less, or a losing record and doesn't make the playoffs, I think after that he probably would.
I don't think he'll do that. I mean, I think he'll get another season, but I honestly think the Giants are going to be a better team next year.
Wow.
I mean, the emergence of Odell Beckham Jr., and then you add in a healthy Victor Cruz, you've got Andre Williams at running back, it all comes down to the offensive line play. If the O-line can protect Eli Manning a little bit better, and they will draft, you've got to believe, some O-linemen in this coming draft, I think the Giants can make a run. I think the Giants may be a contender in the NFC East next year. I think that's why Coughlin is not going to throw in the towel, and I think that's also why the Giants management is not going to say, okay, you're done.
I know, plus,
winning 2 Super Bowl championships kind of gives you, you know, right of way a little bit.
Well, and I think that's why management doesn't want to be the one to come down and axe them. But I'm going to be honest with you. I know that we have a free agency market coming up. I know we have a draft coming up.
Yeah,
but in order for me to buy into your scenario, Jim, you have to show me a New York Giants team that has a lot more depth than Odell Beckham and a healthy Victor Cruz and a more solid O-line. You've got to show me a lot more depth than that. And
especially
I'm not sure
the O-line.
If you can do that.
Especially the O-line, yeah.
I'm not sure if you can do that in one off season, even with a good free agent market and even if they – well, and they're obviously going to get not a bad draft pick. They're going to be down – they're going to be up near the top someplace with a potentially right. – you know, really, when it comes right down to it, the Giants would be best to just not win another game the remainder of the season.
They need to suck for a duck is what you're saying.
Yeah, they need – yeah, for their draft position, in my opinion. I mean, they should just not care about trying to, you know, get that to 7-9. Because that's going to put them mid-pack or just below mid-pack.
Right. And the scariest thing of all is whoever went to the NFC South will still get a better draft pick than them.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, Gruden brought it up the other night that whoever wins that could actually end up with the 12th pick in the first round. That's crazy.
And speaking of which, shout out to Gruden, John Gruden, the better Gruden right now,
wow.
who's staying
yep.
in the Monday night booth till 2021. Some more this guy, Gruden Grinders, and Spider Y2 Banana.
Let me tell you.
This guy right here, this guy, I call him Guy because I don't know his name. I miss him doing the this guy bit. Ever since everybody brought it up to him, he just doesn't down like, no.
He'd be a starter on my team for sure.
There you go. Well, you're a starter on this team. I don't know if that means anything to you, but there you go.
Yeah, no, I don't know if it does. It doesn't mean anything to BTR, and I don't know. We didn't get any calls tonight, so I don't think it means anything.
I can play the – if I can upload it quick enough, I might play the FU BTR clip I did for another show.
You think that would get us canned?
You want me to try to upload it?
No, that's all right. Let's leave that one alone for
right
now.
We'll save it for our final show whenever
there
that
you
might
go.
Be.
Hopefully, there you go. We'll
hopefully it will not be in the next week or two as a prelude
no, really.
Of things to come. Next week, we're going to hopefully effort somebody from the Giant Scout site. Hold on. While we do this, I'm going to do this live on the air. This is unprofessional, but I really don't care. I want to make sure that the Scout.com Giant site is still online. Let's take a look. Let's see if it's been updated since at least March. Let's see. It is Giants. What is it called? The Giants Beat. Oh, thank you very much. And survey says, yes, they updated today. Hey, they updated today. Good on you. And they have a thing on Odell
very
Beckham.
Nice.
Brother Odell.
Very nice.
So at least we have some competence there. That's nice. But we'll try to get somebody from the Giants Beat. They do a podcast, too, so we might even go behind enemy lines on theirs. Yeah, we will talk.
We could do a little trolling. Yeah, there you go.
We'll get that going there. But we'll hope to have somebody from the GiantsBeat.com on. We'll be talking, hopefully, after a Philadelphia victory that brings them the 10 wins for the season. And then I'm telling you, that game at the Meadowlands Sunday, it's going to be bigger than you and I think, especially if Indy can do the job in Dallas on Sunday.
Yeah, but I was going to say, that's the key, Jim, is go Colts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it would be much better, I know. You would really be feeling more confident if a certain quarterback was under center for the Colts still. No names.
Man crush.
But, you know.
That's true. Thank you very much.
You're right. Andrew Luck. Although the Broncos, they're not definite anymore. So.
We could get into a whole conversation. About Andrew Luck.
Yeah, but I'm not into getting that mushy gushy over quarterbacks.
No. I'm not a big fan of Andrew Luck.
Really?
I think he's overrated. No, I think he's overrated personally.
I think you're sorely mistaken, my friend. Fair enough.
Oh, I know. That's because a lot of the media likes to make me overrated, but that's
no.
Okay.
I'm not. We'll talk about this another time.
Yeah,
but thank you for listening this time. We will be back Miss Eve evening.
Yep.
Christmas Eve evening. That's kind of repetitive. But December 24th, for those of you who have the Jewish faith. That's horrible. That is horrible.
That really is, because I think they do know when it is.
No, I know that, but or as my Jewish friends call it, Wednesday.
There you go.
I have Jewish friends and Jewish family members, so I can make the joke. Damn it! Unlike Christopher,
I can't begin to tell you how many of my Jewish friends over on Facebook are putting up all their pictures of their Christmas trees, and I don't have a picture of mine up yet. So who's the better Christian? Who's the better Christian here?
Well, wait a minute. We're going overtime. Let's back up a second here. Your Jewish friends are posting pictures.
Yes.
Of their Christmas trees up.
Correct.
What's wrong with this picture?
Listen, there are a lot of Jewish folks out there that celebrate the holiday, the whole holiday. They celebrate their Hanukkah, but they also have the green and red and the mistletoe and the Christmas tree and the whole bit. They do it very, very similarly to the Christians. And they got pictures of their Christmas tree up. And, well, here at the frat house, we're still kind of in working on it. And,
we're working on it over here, too. We've got the artificial one up, but half the lights are not working, so that's not good.
Oh, that always is.
It's a tree we got before my dad passed away, and let's just say this. He's the only one who touched it in our house. So
in other words, nobody else knew how to work the damn thing.
Well, we didn't have the patience. We didn't have
the patience. Oh, I hear that one.
Yeah. I mean, the one time Dad and I worked on it together, we almost came to blows. It was very exciting. But are you sure they put up Christmas trees and not Hanukkah bushes? Why am I going on about
this? No. It's a, listen, I know a tree when I see one. It, you know, the triangular thing.
I know. And you know a bush when you see one, don't you?
Oh, boy.
On that note, for Mike McShane, Double Entendre, me, Jim Williams, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you Christmas Eve.
You got it.
7 o'clock Eastern right here. On Inside the War Nest. Thanks for listening, and remember, if you take nothing else from this show, remember that not just the Eagles, but also you and I, Mike. Well,
obviously, we've got to do a better job.
Enjoy the Wanamaker Light Show with John Facenda and what have you. So long, everybody.
Go Colts!